My guest at this time is retired U.S. Navy Captain Chuck Nash. He served 25 years as a naval aviator. He is now a Fox News military analyst, and he joins us today to offer his analysis of the repeated Russian provocation of the U.S. Navy destroyer, the USS Donald Cook, in the Baltic Sea over 2 days earlier this week. We also want to get his reaction to the Obama administration's response. And Captain Nash, as always, it's good to have you with us.
Nice to be back with you, Greg.
Well, most people know the story by now, but just a very brief summary. Multiple Russian jets coming perilously close to the Cook. Most estimates say on some passes as close as 30 feet and executing attack-like maneuvers, although they were carrying no munitions. This happened more than 30 times over 2 days. Briefly explain those actions and why those were a clear violation of what's expected in that situation.
Sure. Back in 1972, during the Cold War, the United States Navy and the Russian Navy sought to lay out some rules of the road so that when our forces came in contact, there would not be anything bizarre that might cause an overreaction. We would be very predictable in the way we approached each other, very professional, so that we didn't precipitate unwanted action. Part of the rules, and I used to fly these against Russian ships, and the rules were, when you got near a ship, A, you flew parallel to the ship's course, B, you maintained 1,000 foot of altitude minimum and a 1,500 foot standoff laterally from the ship. You never dropped anything in the vicinity of the ship. You were only allowed to make two passes, and you never simulated an attack profile. You flew in level in a very predictable manner. And the Russians would do the same thing to our ships, and when our ships came in contact with each other, they had surface-to-surface rules that would follow. When the Soviet Union imploded, that agreement was transferred over to the new Russian government, and now what we're seeing, because of continued demonstrations of U.S. weakness, and it started way back in the beginning of this administration, when the president went and bowed to multiple foreign heads of state, and that continuing weakness has gone through Syrian red lines, doing nothing with the invasion of Georgia, all of it, the annexation of the Crimea, the invasion of Ukraine. And now what's happening is Putin strategically is trying to take down NATO without firing a shot. And what he's doing is his message to NATO is clear, and his message to the Baltic states, Latvia, Estonia, and Lithuania, is very clear. And that is that the United States will not react even when their nose is rubbed in it. So what makes you think they're going to come to your defense if shooting starts or if we start really posturing heavily? And that message has been transmitted, and that message, trust me, has been received, because the Russians are going to, I think, in the next 9 months, they realize that with North Korea acting up, with China putting pressure there, that this administration is so far over its head that they are going to seize that opportunity in the next 9 months, because they don't know if they're going to get a real leader in the White House come next January or not. So they are going to take full advantage because they've got the upper hand. We gave it to them, and they know it.
Captain, we're going to follow up on that thought in just a moment. I just want to get a few more insights into the incidents themselves. Would there be any communication between the pilots and the ship during that situation? And do we have any knowledge of whether or not there was any communication in these particular incidents?
Evidently, there were no communications. The Donald Cook tried to raise the aircraft on frequency, probably 243.0, which is the UHF international distress frequency, where they could have used other maritime frequencies to try to raise them. But the Russians did not respond on the radio. So whether they heard it and just disregarded it, which is likely, or they were on their own tactical frequencies and weren't monitoring the Donald Cook's frequencies, we just don't know at this point.
What do you make of the Cook's actions here? Is there a certain protocol in that odd situation that they need to follow, and did they do the right thing?
Well, they shot some video. What the Russians may have been trying to do is to provoke them to bring up some of their electronic defense systems so that the Russians could gather the electronics and electronic intelligence from the ship. Remember, this is the same ship that was buzzed in the Black Sea not that long ago by Su-24s. So we don't know what they were doing. It may have been a fishing expedition looking for electronics intelligence about the ship's radar or their electronic defensive systems, or it could have just been some Russian pilots out hot-dogging. I doubt the latter. I think that was intentional. I don't think Russian pilots would risk their careers to do something so blatant. I think this was intentional.
The report suggests that the Cook was 70 miles off the Russian coast in the Baltic Sea. Is that an acceptable distance from shore?
Absolutely. That's in international waters. And if the question that you or your listeners have as to, so what do we do about this? The answer is, we just got done the NCAA March Madness. The answer is you flood the zone. You want to play games? Fine. You don't like ships in the Baltic? Get over it, because we're going to flood the zone. Every ship leaving Norfolk that's headed east is going to come through the Baltics before it goes through the Strait of Gibraltar. We're going to set up multinational and unilateral and bilateral exercises with the countries in the Baltics. Get used to seeing American ships. We're going to be here, and they're not going to be oilers. They're going to be combatants.
Well, there's the prescribed response. Here's what Josh Earnest, the White House spokesman, said on Wednesday.
This incident, as you won't be surprised to hear, is entirely inconsistent with the professional norms of militaries operating in proximity to each other in international waters and international airspace. Any peacetime military activity must be consistent with international law and norms and conducted with due regard for the rights of other nations and the safety of other aircraft and other vessels. There have been repeated incidents over the last year where the Russian military, including Russian military aircraft, have come close enough to each other or have come close enough to other air and sea traffic to raise serious safety concerns, and we continue to be concerned about this behavior.
So he's calmly reading the policy. Compared to what you were suggesting about flooding the zone there, Captain, how is what Josh Earnest said being received in Moscow, and how do you think they'd respond to what you were suggesting?
They would respond to my suggestion completely differently than Josh Earnest, because Josh Earnest, what he was saying was, this is the way things should be. Well, Josh, they're not. So what are you and the administration going to do about it? If you continue to roll over, Putin is going to take more and more, because, like I said, he realizes he's got 9 months left, because he'd had no idea who's coming in January. But he knows who he's got right now, and he's going to exploit that. And my concern is that something really significant is going to happen in the 9 months, because, again, his strategic goal is to take down NATO and rebuild Imperial Russia. And to take down NATO, all he's got to do is get somebody to try to invoke Article 5, which is the mutual defense provision of the NATO treaty, and all of a sudden he's going to see who in NATO stands up to that Article 5 call. And if countries balk, NATO is done.
What do you think it will look like? What threat will he pose, do you think? What do you think he has in mind?
I think what he has in mind is something with the Baltic states, Latvia, Lithuania, or Estonia. He's got the Kaliningrad Oblast, which is right on the Baltic Sea. It's Russian territory. It borders Belarus and Poland, and it's just south of the Baltic states. He could use an incident there to where he says it's being threatened, and he takes a move, puts troops up against the borders of some of the Baltic states, and essentially tries to precipitate a reaction by those countries whereby he can do what he did in Ukraine.
Sobering. Captain, thank you very much for your analysis of the incident and its larger meaning. We appreciate your time today.
My pleasure, Greg.
Retired U.S. Navy Captain Chuck Nash. He was a naval aviator for 25 years in service to this country. He's now a Fox News military analyst. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.